The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
It's The Weekend Podcast. Joining me right now is Peter and Steve. You all right, lads?
Yes, good evening.
Yeah, good day. Good.
We're recording this later than normal. We're recording this on a Saturday evening, and Steve has been watching Strictly. And it's funny, my parents, I've just said goodbye to my parents because they're from Wales. I live on the south coast of England here, and I've just booted them at the door, got the kids to bed as fast as I could. But it's funny, my mother's sitting there watching the girl from the Saturdays dance. What's her name, Steve? Do you know the blonde
Molly
one?
Molly King.
Molly yeah. King. And my mother said to Fred, who's Freddie's like seven, said, "Oh, look at her nice long legs, Fred. A bit like Nanny's legs look." And Fred just looked at me and just smiled. She was joking. But we went to a pumpkin festival today. And
right.
There had lots of stalls and stuff there. And, you know, it's very busy, too busy in Victoria Park. But there are these massive pumpkins, literally the size of a car. I'm honestly not joking. They were the size
of
a car.
Real.
They were real, and they were wearing them. But there's also other stands and stuff. It wasn't just that, but too busy. And at one point, we're in the park area, and this little boy, about five, fell over, and he hurt his hands, and he's crying his eyes out, and he couldn't find his father. So Megan, in the minute, Mrs. went up to him and sort of said, "What's your father look like? Do you know where he is?" And so my mother went up to try to help, and she said, and he was crying his eyes out, she said, "What colour trousers did your father have on, dear?" I said, "What?" I said, "Ma'am, that is not the best way of identifying someone. What colour trousers did he have on?" What else are you going to ask him? "What size shoes did he take, dear? What car did he drive in 1986? What's his favourite?"
what's his mother's maiden name?
Yeah,
he was wearing jeans.
Yeah, it's probably jeans, ma'am, yeah. Yeah. I said, you know.
Well, that narrows it down.
Yes. "Have you ever been to Spain in the 80s, dear?" I mean, there are more obvious ways to identify someone. What colour trousers has he got on? Even the boy stopped crying for a second, trying to think. I thought, "Why is somebody thinking of that? What colour trousers?"
Yeah. Confuse him.
"How many toes does he have on his feet, dear, your father?" So, can you think of anything more obscure, really? It's like nuts. We didn't find him, so there we are. I was laughing, but I couldn't stop laughing at that for some reason. Watching when she went up there, it sounded so reassuring. She was trying to reassure him. I think that was confuse him. He didn't know what. Next thing he knows, he's going to go out next time. He's going to be traumatized by this event, losing his father, and thinking, "I've got to remember what kind of trousers he's wearing because the police are bound to ask me that."
Yeah, that's the key.
Anyway, it's been a good week, hasn't it? For a couple of stocks we own.
Yes, it has. Yes, nice to see that, isn't it?
And first and foremost, long-term holders of Asia Met Resources, up the arse! Up the arse, everyone!
Up the arse, yeah.
And I even bought that for my father and my brother at like 1.5 pence. Did we have them for 1.5 pence? Did we something like that?
Yeah, 1.4 or
1.4, something like that. And so they hit 7 pence. That's a 3-year high or something ridiculous. They've come back a bit. They will consolidate. But I was chatting to my father, and I told my father the day, and Megan, my missus, said, "Oh, Chris, you should sell that." I said, "Don't sell it." I said, "It'll consolidate because they have risen strongly in the last, you know, couple of days." But I said, "Don't sell it." And she said, No. I said, May, "You know nothing about the market, do you?" She said, "It doesn't matter. They've risen strongly." I understand what you mean. In fact, I chat with a guy on Twitter who said, "Now 25% of my portfolio is now in Asia Met." And he said to me, would you sell some? I said, "Well, I can't tell you what to do. You know, it's not my account. But personally, I would feel uncomfortable, even though I have confidence Asia Met will go on after a bit of consolidation. You know, if you're holding 25% of your portfolio, you never know what could happen to you, really. I mean, you know, if that takes a wipe out, it's a big chunk of your portfolio. So even if you take some out and wait and put some back in, you know, and it drops. But I said...
I always bang on about it, but this is where we should have a stop loss in, shouldn't we? Really, I mean, just in case something dramatic happens next week or something.
I mean, most things that dramatic happen, you don't see coming. Things that come out of left field are normally the things that set the stock market off. But the thing is, though, if you're balancing your portfolio and you are, say, having no more than 10% in one stock, then you should, you know, top slice if it goes above that. And so you're always sort of insulated against any sort of big issues, really. But I was saying to Megan, she was saying, I said, listen, let me tell you something, right? Tony Minnidi came on the podcast, a couple of years ago, and he said, Justin, this is the best time to be building coal miners in a downturn. Come on, come on, downturn. Yeah? And it's cheap. And it's cheap.
All right, mate.
At the time, he said, now listen. And then he kept, I think, yeah, okay. But he said, when once copper starts moving, it really moves. I've been there before, and he has done it before. This is the thing. Tony's got a track record of doing this before. In the last copper downturn, where he started constructing and building mines and acquiring businesses with the Oxiana. And he took that from, 3 million market cap to a several billion market cap. And he did exactly the same thing. Because when copper starts rising, then you leverage, three or four times against that price. And it's going to happen again. And even more so now, I think copper, I don't think people are understanding where copper is going to go. I think it's going to go absolutely bonkers. I really do. Because all the big miners of copper, there's no big operations, copper producing operations, coming online really in the next few years. I mean, the big chilling operations, haven't got anywhere to go. The grades are reducing, so they're having to dig further down. So the supply isn't there. And yet the demand is going to get bonkers. Every Tom, Dick and Harry country and company, from big automobile companies to governments around the world, are all saying we're switching from petrol and diesel to electric. And there's three times as much copper in electric. I tweeted out something recently, and I look at the stats of how many EVs, electric vehicles, expect to be in Britain. And that alone is mind-blowing in the next 10 years, 20 years. Mm. And I'm thinking, where are they going to get the copper from? So unless they discover something else which is conductive as copper and is readily available, I don't know where they're going to get it from. And so I just see a massive rise in the copper price.
The thing with Asia Met is at current, even at current price, it's still only a market cap of 50 million. And my understanding is those assets are worth way, way more than that.
They haven't even proved up, their biggest asset, Botong, and they're now sitting on a BKZ as well, which they've said can be a standalone project on its own, but that's for zinc. Now, zinc is at a 10-year high, the price, but copper's still nowhere near.
What sort of value are those assets? Because I kind of forget.
In their P a while back, didn't they? So, and they did... what did they say? It was like, I don't know, it was like 205 million, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a lot, wasn't it?
So even now, you look at it and go,
that's undervalued still, isn't it? Even though it's 7p or whatever.
Yeah, that's net present value. I mean, and yet they're still proving up sort of other zones, like BKZ.
So explain to me why it's going up right now. Is it just demand for it? Is that the only reason?
You've got the copper thing happening. You've got the, coming towards the, is it several things happening? You've got copper price obviously rallying. People realising that copper's the way, if you want it, you need to get exposure to copper. I was trying to explain this to Megan. I said, listen, at the moment they're now like 59 million market cap, Asia Met, but you don't get people like JP Morgan jumping on board a small company like this before their bankable feasibility study comes out without them knowing they've got to get exposure to copper. And there's lots of these people like JP Morgan, one of the biggest asset fund managers in the world, they have trillions under management. They know the market. They've got guys there specifically dedicated to the copper market. They know it, and they're saying, get exposure to copper everywhere we can. Get exposure to copper. So they're probably now putting positions in every copper company they can with decent ones come online who are about to produce the next couple of years, because they know it's going to go bonkers. The copper market is going to go nuts. And so you've got people.
My question to you there is, I agree with that. Is that apart from Asian Met, have you got exposure to copper elsewhere? Because I don't want to put all my eggs in one basket.
No, but I would also go with nickel. I mean, nickel's not, there's not as much used as copper. But you've got Horizonte there. And but again, that's a massive shareholder register. But it's like, what I explained is like having JP Morgan on your shareholder register is like, you going for a job, Steve, for example, right, with Apple, and me going for a job, and yet you having on your CV that you've worked for Microsoft or something like that, and me just coming out of university. That's different. But basically, they will go to see funds now. I'm saying, Peter Bird, now the CEO, will go around, do a roadshow, and he'll go see fund managers, and he'll say, oh, by the way, we've got this cracking project, and also we've got JP Morgan on board, only one of the biggest asset managers in the world on board. People just say, count me in, because they got the best analysts in the world, looking at JP Morgan, and if they're involved, Other fund managers think, okay, let me have a quick look at the project, but the fact that JP Morgan are on board says a lot, you know? Yeah. It almost takes the humbug out of...
Just to finish your analogy there, I don't think either of you will have got that job.
If I'm going for the next job, in, you know, after Tim Cook, you know...
Right.
And I've worked at Dixon's Car Phone Warehouse, and Steve has worked as a, you know, at Google. Then it's
greengrocers, so he knows about apples.
Yeah, I've worked with apples.
Yes.
I've worked with plenty of apples before. What's the difference? So that's why Asia Met. Yes, look at the chart; it's overcooked at the moment. But I just think the more it rallies like that, the more volume you see, the more interest there is, the more this will build. And especially when the cotton price goes up, I mean, the next rally will be even bigger than this, this last rally. I mean, look at that. It's gone from, 5.5 to 7 almost, and 6.9 it finished off in rally. But as soon as that, when you see spikes like that, it generates a lot of interest. A lot more people get involved in the stock than before. And so, there's a lot more holders. And so, these rallies get bigger and more fierce. So it's almost like, wait for it to pull back now. You can draw a line, almost at 5.6. It's pretty much the previous resistance, so that's good support now. So it may come back towards that level. So anywhere on the six pence level, you know, I think is buy zone. Buy zone.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah.
Because this copper story, it ain't going away. You know what I'm saying?
No.
Unless they get some kind of all of a sudden all the governments start saying, oh, in fact, no, let's stick with petrol and diesel. It's not too bad. Fossil fuels. We don't mind that. And or they find a remarkable. Replacement for copper. Hang on. Can I hear the sound of graphene? Because graphene literally is conductive as copper, but yet it's very hard to produce. So that's the problem. It's not as easy as producing. So we're literally, we've got this copper revolution happening, this EV revolution happening next 5 years, and yet we're say 5-10 years away from, finding anything that can is comparative to copper. So, and yet quality supply isn't there. It's hard to get copper.
What about Horizonte? Have you bought any more of that? Because obviously that
it annoyed me. I was looking to buy some more, and then it started pulling back a little bit, and I thought, I'm going to buy some more of this. I thought, I needed to pull back a little bit more. And so I was looking at the price. Where was it? So it rallied up, the previous rally. It went to 3.6. And then it came back down to 3.2. The next 2 days it rallied quickly back up, so I didn't have time to buy there. I should have bought there. And it came back, I thought, it's going to settle down now. And it came down at 3.5, then it went at 3.5, I thought it'd come back down at to about 3 pence or something like that. And then it shot up, didn't it, to beyond 4. I thought, what's going on here?
Mm.
So I think, again, it may 3.5 maybe the buy zone here, but it's definitely a company I want to accumulate more of, because, again, nickel is like, Tesla said, Elon Musk said, they should be called nickel cobalt or nickel lithium batteries, not lithium iron batteries, because there's as much nickel as, and of course that's going bonkers as well. And there are very few big projects coming online. Nickel's in the same place as copper, pretty much. If you look at the share price, it's been hammered. Nickel, it's been in historical lows for years. And so what happens to that? It's cyclical, isn't it? When it's low prices, the big mines can't produce any. A mine that's not very low cost can't produce financially viable. It's not financially viable for them to break even. So they basically shut down the mines, and then all of a sudden, it takes off again. And you're left with the lack of the supply. So that's going to happen again to the nickel market. Horizonte, as a world-class, it's a T1 asset. It literally has a 28-year mine life, and it's churning out, 80 million bucks of profit on average a year. And yet they are a market cap of what? It's like, I can't remember, 45 million, 50 million, are they? 47 million. And yet they'll do almost double that in profit a year when they start firing up that. It's a tier one means it's a global asset. It's one of the best, lowest cost, quality wise, length of mine. It's an amazing asset they've got there. So, again, that ain't changing. Nickel story.
Why is that sort of actually still quite low? I mean, I'm not complaining, because it is, like you say.
Because if you look at what they have to do with these, getting a mine online this size is no easy job.
I reckon me and Steve could do it.
I can have the shovel.
And if you look at their PEBA, they've still got to get Asia Met. They're still risking these companies, of course, because they've still got to raise money to get the mine, to build the mine. So they've got to get funding for the mine. And that's several hundred million. I don't know what it is at the moment. It's sort of a PEA thing. But it's the same with Asia Met. They still got to raise it, you know, a bit of funding. So there's always risk that it may not happen. But I think when you have, you know, the rising price of the commodity on mining going through the roof, and these guys, you know, two quality products, it becomes less of an issue to raise money, you know, because of course you could see that the demand is there for that commodity. So
and any placing is unlikely to be at a discount or much of a discount. But not much.
Yeah, exactly. When it's in demand, when it's a hot stock, exactly, people are willing to loan. But so I just think it's a good one. And I also think, you know what? Yeah, no, one of you are in Harvest Minerals, aren't you, HMI?
No, neither of us are.
No, you think I am.
Yeah.
You did say last week, Steve, you were in it.
No, he doesn't.
No, he doesn't know what he's in.
I think you thought...
No, I was on that Horizonte.
From the...
Yeah, you were thinking of Horizonte, I think, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, what do you know about Harvest Minerals?
It is a... I don't know this.
The Harvester restaurants.
Yeah, that would be the obvious answer, wouldn't it? They are... I've forgotten now. Go on, what is it?
Pete, anything? Any idea? Go on, give us a sell. Go on, yes, go on.
I'm not in it, but I know it's something to do with fertilizer from South America.
No, that's not what I was going to say.
Oh, okay.
Well, what are you going to say, Steve?
I can't remember. I did look them up. When you were sending me messages, I did look them up and had a look at them, but my mind's just gone blank.
How do you know that wasn't what you were going to say when you can't remember what you're going to say?
Well, I just know it wasn't Bloom.
Okay.
Harvesting.
I don't know. It's something like that, isn't it? Explain to us.
Sorry, when you were chatting there, I was actually over the other side of my studio. I was doing something else. I wasn't close to the mic. I'm glad you kept chatting there. You were filling unknowingly.
I was saying it was about the fertilizer in Brazil thing.
Yeah. Well, yes, that's it. You are spot on there. And, so what happens is, Brazil have a massive agricultural sector, and you may be aware of, you know, Brazilian coffee is quite big. They export a lot of agricultural, you know, food, fruit, veg, all from a lot of it from Brazil. I just look around the supermarkets and you see a lot of stuff coming from Brazil. So you need fertilizer.
Brazil nuts.
You know, Brazil nuts, exactly. That's could I actually make Brazil nuts in this country, or would they take me to court for it?
It's like champagne.
It's like champagne, champagne.
Brazilian wax.
There we are. A Brazilian. Can you do a Brazilian outside Brazil, or do you have to go to Brazil for a Brazilian?
No, you have to go to Brazil for a Brazilian.
Oh, okay.
It's
called a Basilian, if it's not.
That's it. Yeah, by Barry.
Yeah. So, huge agricultural sector there, and it export a lot around the world, you know, fruit, veg, coffee, all this coca beans. So obviously they need a lot of fertilizer, but they import 90% of this, and that's very expensive, you know, and it costs them a lot of money to do this. So they have got a fertilizer. They're trying to obviously produce their own fertilizer, and the country wants them to be self-sufficient by 2020. That's a big ask, a massive ask. So to get this through, to hit this target, they've got to be, you know, they've really got to sort of incentivize people to sort of start producing fertilizer. And so they're not going to stand in the way of many companies who are genuinely producing, you know, fertilizer in the country, because they're leaning that way, you know. So what I'm saying, the macro trend, like it is with, you know, copper and nickel, is like the macro trend is in favor of Harvest Minerals, because they are a fertilizer producer in Brazil. And so they're out now, they've got a product that's organic, it's cheaper than the imported ones, it's locally produced, so it'll create local jobs, you know. So first of all, three boxes ticked there that the government probably likes. It's organic, it's cheaper than imports, and it's locally produced, you know. So three good boxes there. Is it as effective, though? They've done tests, yes it is. And now all they need now is certification for that. So four boxes there, ticked, you know, ready for the government to say yes. The government's giving very good feedback to them. They've asked them to build a massive shed to cover this. This has been storing this up, and they've already mined it. So all they need is a certification if their product called KP Fertil is called. And that's coming before the end of the year. But they've already made about only a small amount of sales already. But I said I had Brian on the podcast this week. I said, so how come you've made sales when you haven't got it certified? And why do you need it certified? And he said, essentially, it's like a gold standard because a lot of food that's produced in Brazil is sent around the world. And you've got to say what's used in it. You know, you've got to, on the packaging, you've got to say what kind of fertilizer is used in it or anything of this stuff. And if it hasn't got, like over here, we used to have a British kite mark, didn't you? Or I think it's now it's EU certification for certain things, isn't it? You can't sell electrical goods anywhere in the EU unless it's got some kind of certification, you know? So it's got to have this certification. But even so, they've made about 80 grand of sales already, but other farmers want to have that certification on there from the Brazilian, you know, Ministry of Agriculture. But that's going to happen within a couple of months, literally before the end of the year. Once that happens, they've got a massive resource. I mean, massive. And they want to be sort of ramping up to about 450,000 tons a year. And you can do the maths on this. Pete, Steve, get your maths head on, right? Yeah. Mm. Now, they produce, all in cost, pretty much, is about $7. Just round it up to 10, all right? Round it up to 10.
That's a 50% increase.
Okay, we're going on $7 if you want, but I'm just trying to make it easy for you. So, say it costs them $10, everything, to get it out, mined out, put it in the bags, ready for sale, right? All done. They sell that for $60.
Right.
That's why I'm doing that. So what's the profit there?
Is that 50?
$50 a ton. They're going to be ramping up, hopefully, when they get the contracts coming through, because, let's be honest, there's amazing demand for fertiliser in Brazil, because it's a massive... They're right in the centre of the agricultural area there. So they're going to be selling 450,000 tons to 500,000 tons a year.
Right.
And that's... So you imagine that, $50, right? Mm. Tons 450,000.
Yeah. It's 22 million, isn't it, or something?
That's all right, isn't it?
$22.5 million of profit a year. And that's ramping up to their current market cap is £14 million as all.
Mm. So, and stand to potentially make £22.5 million profit every year.
Yeah, yeah. So listen. So let's say £20 million. Yeah, let's say that, right? But what you want to do, so when you value a company, basically you get something like the, you know, profit before tax or something like that, you know, earnings, and you times it by 10 or something like that. That's be a PE of 10, pretty much.
Yeah.
I mean, you do divide the actual earnings per share, or to look at earnings per share, but that's a rough figure. But so you could say, okay, so 200 million, so 20 million a year times 10 is 200 million. That's what they should be valued on once they start producing this, you know? Yeah. You could say that. I mean, still a few bits of risks in the way, and that's about 160.
Okay, so that's my question. What is the risks then?
They get
certification. They've also got to, when they get certification, at the moment they've got a trial mine license, right? So, but they've got a full mine license. But do you know what? I just think these are regulatory tick boxes they need to tick. That's, they have to do it, but they will do it because the regulatory environment is in favour of them doing it out there. You know, the government, I don't know why they set these targets of being, you know, independently, you know, self-sufficient in fertiliser by 2020, but they have. And so they put a rod thrown back here, and so they've got, well, a couple of years until they get a lot of projects like Harvest Minerals on. So there's always risk, Steve, because there's a small market cap. I mean, they've just raised money, so the risk of, do they have any cash? No, they just raised, what, 1.5 million now, so just for operating. But, it's very low cost, very low strip ratio. There's no, when I say mining, it's pretty much at surface. So there's not a lot of cost there. And like I said, and that's why the all-in costs are pretty much $10 per ton. That's it. And so the tests have worked out. So I just think it's a no-brainer. I really like Brian McMaster, the guy. I've talked to him loads of times. He's also got another project called Jangada Mines, which is worth looking at. It's a PGM, also in Brazil. It's a stable environment, Brazil. You know, they've had a couple of problems with the economics and a bit of corruption there, but nothing like, you know, you'd expect in an African country where they may just, you know, the government may just take all the assets off you, nothing like that. It's pretty much democratic, it's pretty much safe. So I think good jurisdiction, you know, good economy. It's one of it's one of the BRICS, wasn't it? It's one of the developing countries, Brazil, Russia, India, China, and what else was it? And something else being the S. What was that?
Sierra Leone.
Singapore. Yeah, it wasn't Sierra Leone. Stable economy, or getting stable, is that one of the worst recessions of their history recently. They're coming out of that.
South Africa.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's not South Africa. Well, it, maybe. That's right, it is. But
Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa.
Yes, it is. But South Africa, really not that stable an area, you know? I just think it's one of the things now. 10 pence, right? They did a placing. At 10 pence. They're now 10.8, so 11 pence to buy. I just think this is a good level here. I just really do think it's a good level.
Yeah, so what is the funding situation there?
They've just raised it.
Yeah, apart from that, yeah. So that's enough. They've got enough now for a while, haven't they?
Yeah, because, I mean, but they're starting, end of this year, they'll start making sales. So they'll need less and less to go to the market to raise funds, depending how fast the sales take off. But, I mean, they will need to do that less and less because they're starting to bring on revenue first time ever. So on the edge of revenue, you know. So companies like this, you have to understand that, you know, when you look at other companies that are going through sort of mining or drilling, they have no revenue for a couple of years. Exploration companies have no revenue for years, you know, years. So they have to keep going back to the market all the time. Harvest Minerals are on the verge here of generating revenue, and once they get that certification, it could be big revenue, you know. So and they're very frugal as well. I mean, Brian McMaster does not just spend money crazily, you know. Good. If you look at, I mean, they've had the last thing they raised was like a year ago, I think, and that was pretty much run about the same amount of money. So this is, you know, 12 months worth of money they've raised here, and you chuck on top of that the revenue they're going to be earning, and it's good to go, guys. You know, I mean.
Yeah. Okay.
Of course, there's risks. Do your own research. I know Steve will. Steve will research it for years. Oh,
he's probably already done it. He's probably there now, getting his books out, looking at fertilizer stuff.
Yep.
Yep.
I'm probably not a good person to talk to, though, because I have just burnt all my grass with fertilizer.
What?
You burnt
your fertilizer?
Well, it was some sort of weed. And feed, and it's killed all my grass. Yeah.
I thought Steve meant he was just smoking grass. I burnt my grass, man. Yeah, Saturday night. Hey,
don't
Saturday night. Yeah,
don't I've got no share research. I burn
guys,
my grass.
Yeah, all I just do is burn my grass and think about it, then buy. I buy or sell. Just burn my grass first, then I make the decision after.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty laid back. That'd be good, wouldn't it? Just make... Only ever making decisions after smoking a joint. Hey, guys, I don't make any investment decisions till after I burn my grass, okay?
I'd probably make some more money if I did that, to be honest.
Yeah, exactly, I was going to say. More relaxed approach.
Right. By the way, I'm starting to buy into one more stock I think we should talk about. Any others worth mentioning today? Angus did doing well. There's some good release for Angus. I see. I keep saying these long-term stocks that I think are going to hold a lot of sway. I think definitely. Listen, I quite like BT. I know the share price has gone down, right? Our challenge here, the big BT stock. But I quite like the chart at the moment. I'll tell you why. I look at it today, and I try and look for support and all this kind of nonsense. Support and resistance, going back and forth. Support and resistance. Where is it? And you go back now, and you look, and I couldn't find any. Even back to a long way back, I couldn't find any sort of support. Now we're down below. We've broken down below support of like 280, and we are at 274. And to be honest, it doesn't look very good, apart from, right? And this happened with the Royal Dutch Shell. When I knew it was not looking good was when I just looked at the RSI and thought, it's never been this oversold at this level for so long, ever. And when that tends to happen, right, then you see a big bounce in recovery. BT coming up with updated figures, I think, in November, something. It's not far away, a couple of weeks away. I saw an updated note on Barclays. Barclays stockbrokers have a 4.50 target on them. They say BT are going to the High Court end of this year to sort out their pension liability, to ease the issue there, which will cost them a lot less in the future. And they reckon they've invested in the infrastructure for fibre to premises thing, which is the next big thing, a lot. But they're quite bullish on them. And I'm just thinking, look how oversold they are. I mean, on a weekly, on a daily RSI. Yeah. And when you see this kind of oversoldness in a stock, and literally it is. I mean, on a weekly chart, look at the RSI there, seen bouncing along the oversold area for ages. And I think it'll be a matter of time before this starts to bounce, because this is not a company who's, you know, all of a sudden lost buckets loads of revenue. They did last year, actually, but it was a one-off, you know. It was Italian arm of their business. I mean, you know, some kind of irregularity, fraud of some kind, the guy's been sacked, it's all been sorted out. So it's a one-off exceptional here, and they're sorting that out. And they completely acknowledge this. So they've had a couple of things, issues, they've Ofcom problems, and of course, all that. But that's behind them. I just genuinely think these set of results will just say everything's good to go, and we've been majorly oversold. So I'm quite happy. I think it'll bounce strong. I mean, the only regret I have is that we didn't invest in our experiment. We haven't employed, and that's one thing we should do. We haven't employed my technique of scaling in, and I hate that because it's not the way I invest. I always scale in. I always get in.
Can't really do it on the amount we're doing, because me and Peter probably end up spending more on fees.
I suppose you need, so, and I think that's why we should do an experiment where we scale in, because when you see companies like this that genuinely, you know, still have a lot of free cash flow, they're a cracking dividend, you know, they are one of the major players in the market, and yet they've had a big sell-off in the last, year and a half, big sell-off, you know, they were £4-5 a couple of years ago, and now they're £2.74, and they're majorly oversold. I just think this is the kind of thing you'd take a big punt on. You really do, because it's a decent business still, you know? Another story like this is very oversold as well, which I'm going to do. I made you a blog about this weekend, is utility-wise. Good cash flow. Only a 40 million market cap. And they've got revenue of... they've messed up on their accounting. That's why they've... And I wrote a blog about them on the weekend. But utility-wise, their results are out this week. Another uncertainty. They're changing accounting procedures. They're going from IFR 18 to IFR 15, which basically means... Steve will explain that. Steve, explain the difference between IFR 18 and IFR 15, if you could, please.
No idea. I've not even got a guess for that.
No, Steve, go on. I'm going to pretend. Let's pretend you're a scam artist, right? And you're an invested scam artist, and you want to, tell someone, I know it's hard for you, but you want to pretend you know what you sound like you're talking about.
Clearly the 50 is going to be better because you're getting more for your money, aren't you?
Clearly.
Go for one with a higher number.
I like the way you said, two things wrong with that. I like the way you said,
unless you're playing golf.
I like the way you said clearly at the start. Clearly, IFR.
You've got to be confident about what you're saying, haven't you?
Yeah. It's actually, who's scratching? Someone is scratching. Come on, admit it. Who's doing that now? No, sorry. They're adopting IFRS 15, Steve, not 50. 15. Mm. Not, and they're going from 18, IFRS 18. Basically, it's less ambitious. It's, what they're going to be reporting now is more in line with the cash flow and profits. Whereas before, they sort of utilities for bigger companies, and small and medium-sized enterprises, and they secure contracts, long-term contracts, and cheaper contracts for their gas, electricity, and all this stuff. They do that for them, all right? So, but they get paid a commission.
Is this with bifurcating embedded derivatives?
What is? You've been Googling, haven't you? You've been Googling.
I'm just thinking, that's what I would be thinking about. It's just a fair value option for bifurcating embedded derivatives.
Well, IS, what are you talking about, you big, fat, hairy bumhole?
That's what I heard.
Sorry, anyway. So the enterprise
don't get that on the money program, or anything. That was Radio 4.
So this is what I'm looking at. They did an update, right? They did an update. Did I tell you about this, or I may be repeating myself? But they did.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, I know. It's not the first time. Let's be honest. Bloody hell. There's a trading update.
Fascinating.
A trading update on the 24th of August, isn't this, right? UTW. They stated this. They said the group revenue for the year results are coming out next 2 weeks. It's supposed to be out next week, but they've delayed it again. So again, uncertainty sets in here again. They're adopting different accountancy regulations. So they said group revenue for the year will be 3% higher than the prior year. So prior year, right, revenue is 84.4 million. So a 3% increase would be 86.9 million. Now, they also said profit before tax, because they adopt this new system, and they've also had to pay something back in commissions, will be 40% lower than the prior year. So profit before tax last year was 18.4 million, so I mean a 40% reduction would be 7.3 million, and yet there's still only a 40 million market cap. So that's a P of literally 5, or it's not even that. It's ridiculous. So I'm just thinking... This, and remember, this trading update was released after the end of the year, so their year finishes on 31st of July. This update was on 24th of August, almost a month later. So they know exactly what they've taken. They're just, having to fill out the forms and do the things, and report it, and write it down, and on the computers. Steve, going out? Are you going out, Steve?
No, well, I am going out, but
Who's walking around? Who's got a squeaky chair?
No, it's me walking around. Yeah.
What are you doing?
I'm getting ready.
Oh, yes, sorry, it's a Saturday night. Steve is DJing, man. All right. All I'm saying is I'm scaling in.
Right, okay. You're scaling into what?
Utility-wise, and I will not stop scaling in. I'm going to beat this. I'm down about 5% at the moment on this stock, right? But I'm going to scale in. I got limit orders as 50 pence at 45 and at 40 pence and 40.5. Right. And I don't think it'll get down to there. If it does, though, I'll probably be a little overexposed. But I genuinely think this is a company that will do 50% within a couple of days of their trading update. Hopefully, if it doesn't, it'll go the other way. And the trading update is next 2 weeks. So it's crunch time, you know. I've been reading through it and trying to think, this is majorly oversold. This was like, same kind of revenue, but this was a couple of quid. This was £3.20 a couple of years ago. This time last year, it was like £2, and now they're 53 pence. And yet, look at the revenue is double the market cap, you know. And it's good margins, but they've had a couple of issues. They've checked out pretty much the board, or the top three of the board, and they brought in decent board members to sort out their accounting irregularities or their overly ambitious reporting techniques, which didn't pay off sometimes. But so I just think this is a good one that will rally like crazy soon. Utility-wise, worth a look, guys, as is Harvest Minerals. This is nothing is investment advice on this podcast.
No, that's clear. No,
that's obvious, that, isn't it? I may be lying. I may not hold any of these stocks and just be kidding. I'm thinking, oh, you didn't really buy that, did you, fool? That's why it's always good to do your own research there.
Yes, that's it. Good.
Okay. You're not supposed to do that to me and Pete, though. That's the only problem.
Yeah. But again, this is a revenue model. This is like a long-term investment. They're spending the dividend, right, because while they're sorting this out. But they will go back to paying half-decent dividends. So this is the kind of thing they're looking for. As with BT, it's a good long-term investment that pays a good dividend that's based on, you know, revenue and profits. You know, it's not just based on, hopefully, future revenue and profits. It's not a pre-revenue company. This is a revenue company with profits. So same with BT. And they will be paying dividend, hopefully, in next year. So this is a company you can buy at this level, hopefully. And this is a turnaround stock that will start to, obviously, we've seen hopefully seen the bottom here. They'll start rallying now and be almost a momentum rally story for the next couple of years. That's what I'm saying. And same with BT. You know, I put some money in the missus for BT. And she said, why? I'm down. She bought it at 26. I said, yeah, but you don't understand. This is a safe company you can put your money in for years now.
Yeah.
I mean,
You just said you put some money in your missus.
Yeah.
Yeah, same.
Okay. Right.
Sorry, that's how we met. That's how we met. I get confused. So listen, these are long-term investment plays, you know? Long-term! In fact, everything I mentioned is, really, copper is a long-term play, you know? Horizonte, nickel's a long-term play. Fertilizer in Brazil, yes, a massive long-term play. Utility-wise, BT, all long-term plays. No punch stocks around here, fellas.
No. Yes.
So anyway, that's it. Have a nice weekend. And
fantastic. Thank you very much.
Steve, what are you opening with, Steve? What's your first... What's the warming-up kind of number you'll be playing tonight on your DJ?
The set I'm doing tonight is pretty much just background music, so it's not properly DJing to a crowd. It's just kind of background-y, so anything, really.
Why do they need a DJ for that, then?
Jack. Yeah, why do they need...
Well, I'm not questioning it. They're paying me, so...
Yeah. Sure. But can you just go there, put a program on... Get a stuffed effigy of you. So today at the Pumpkin Festival, they had, like, you know, Guy Fawkes kind of characters, but with pumpkin heads. Can you just go there, Steve, and put a pumpkin head on and put a mask on, or just put a hoodie on, and I just stand there? And can you just do it? I mean, lean over into a box or something, you know, pretend like you're looking into something, and just walk, go home.
Okay, I might try that.
No. No, and
the boss
tries to talk to you. Do you want a drink, Steve? Steve, you literally touch your head falls off. Oh,
focus, look at him.
Right. Anyway, I got to go. So have a lovely weekend.
Try and see what I could do in there. See if I noticed.
It's on the playlist there, Pete.
What is?
I could do.
And give it, and halfway through it, you go into break into something crazy, and just shout loudly, "Come on, go on the dance floor, you big effigies!" And say, "Okay, sorry, back to Muzak." I'll put my pumpkin man up. I'll leave. Pop to Azra on the way, Steve. Get yourself a pumpkin and a tracksuit, fill up with newspaper. Then first off, spend the first half an hour building your effigy, then leave. I don't know why that's funny.
Measly Measle.
Yes.
Probably to answer by a load of newspapers, an old tracksuit, pumpkin, and a hoodie, makeup brushes, just draw on a face. Just play it for chick, and then building it up for chick.
Wow. I can't believe he used to be a full-time comedian.
I can.
Yeah, he got sacked. It's a very orange face. We've been all this deep. You're a very orange face.
Anyway.
Maybe you should actually go there and put lots of orange in your face first. The switchover does look so obvious. Buy the same kind of tracksuit. Oh, okay. Just shut.
Right.
Very strange.
Okay, right.
I'm running late now, so I'm going.
Okay, Steve, let's pay the time to pop in and get that pumpkin, though. Right, okay. Steve. No. Guys, have a nice weekend.
Bye.
The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.